Hey, Pop Life fam, it's Naima. Sean, Jeff, and I wanted to kind of interrupt our regular programming to bring you a special conversation about Houston. We have two native Houstonians that are joining us for a quick conversation just to kind of let you know what's going on the ground, what the real is, what's coming next, and how you can help. So take a listen and spread the word. Thanks.
Hey, Pop Life Podcast. Today's August 31st, and we have a very special guest on the phone.
Jonna Pierre Antoine, who's like my sister. We've been friends as long as I've known Mona, over 20 years. She is a Houston native, a real live Texas girl. So we just wanted to get her and get some local perspective. I think a lot of the chatter has mostly come from people who aren't down there, who don't have boots on the ground. And I wanted to, you know, just wanted to have her speak a little bit on what was going on and ask a couple of questions to see how, you know, how things are going now and where can we, you know, how can we help. But first of all, Jonna, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. I wouldn't miss it. I want to thank you guys up front for letting me know that this was important to you and that we could, you know, talk in real time about what it really is. You see so many things being said out here and so much chatter. I'm with Sean. I think it's important for people to know, you know, what it's really looking like. And I'm sure people have lots of different perspectives here depending on what side of the water you've been on this week, you know?
Yeah. Right.
It's very easy to be comfortable and be unaffected and also be sitting in your house and not helping and not giving and not feeling it. I doubt there are many people that are going through that this time. This storm was epic. The sheer amount of water was just, I've never seen anything like it. I've not lived here my whole life. I was in New York a long time, but I went through my share of storms the first 20 years of my life. I've never seen anything like what we've experienced this week. We're talking about whole families being lost in the water, vans just getting washed off the road, water coming up high and fast, and in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Entire neighborhoods where the water is over the roofs, very much like what we all saw on TV during Katrina.
Right.
Well, this is beyond that. We're not going to know the full magnitude until the Brazos River is going to crest tonight. The waters are still rising in certain areas. This is what I want a lot of people to know. You won't understand the full magnitude of what this has done until those waters recede. We're going to find more bodies. We're going to realize that entire neighborhoods went underwater. There are places that the first responders were not even able to get to for the first 2 or 3 days. Well, so you had just your regular Joe Blow, your neighbor, the dude down the street that you never met but you know his face, pulled an airboat out of the garage or a canoe, or guys and gals who came over from Louisiana in full-on flotillas, armadas full of boats to come get people out of their houses.
Yeah.
This has been beyond anything anybody could have imagined what's really going to happen.
So, Jonna, let me ask you a quick question, because I wanted to get some perspective that you kind of touched on, which was, how did the city really respond? Like, because a lot of what we're seeing, a lot of images that I've seen have been, like you said, your neighbors, citizens, civilians, people who are just out there trying to figure it out. So how did the city respond and prepare, and how do the citizens that you've been able to contact, or at least, you know, what is the energy about how the city responded?
People on the ground here, I would say 9 out of 10 people that you bump into are going to say, no one knew this storm was going to come on as strong and as fast as it did. We all, the city included, and everyone who's lived in coastal areas at any point in their lives, just kind of part of your life, where you know what you have to do to prepare if a storm is coming. And normally, you know, what we're preparing for is hey, we could be out of power for a day or two. So let's get gas, let's get water, let's make sure we have food, let's make sure the barbecue pit is ready to go if we have to cook outside, all of those types of things. I feel as if both the local municipalities, meaning just the city of Houston, the government here in Houston, as well as the local military outlets that are in place at all times, did everything they normally do. I can't say that they did a thing wrong.
They just didn't know.
Getting 30 inches of rain in 36 hours.
Yeah, nobody could prepare for that.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
There's nothing you can do but try to manage that as best you can.
And there wasn't enough time to evacuate. Oh, sorry.
What part of town do you live in?
I live in Central Houston. I'm inside the loop. Anybody that's from Houston will tell you, like, that's the core of the city. That inside of the loop is literally where you have not only downtown and the medical center, which are our two biggest industries, but you also have the stadiums where the Texans play, the stadium where the Rockets play, the stadiums where all of our major teams
so
are.
You're right near Lakewood. You're right near the church.
Yep, not far from the church. What church you asking about?
Yeah. So how I was wondering, like, that. You know, I know you. I guess you near the Galleria Mall and all that stuff too. Like, how was that kind of middle central part of Houston? Were you guys covered in water too? I'm looking from the pictures on the highways. It looked like just the whole middle part of Houston was basically underwater.
It was insanity. Every major highway was underwater. Every major artery in was underwater as far as highways. You did have some major thoroughfares, major streets like y'all's Broadway. You know, we've got some streets like that, Kirby, Richmond.
Westheimer.
I mean, yes, Westheimer is a major one. That's what takes you all the way over to the Galleria.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the inside of the loop from one, if you went from the furthest side of the loop to the opposite further side, is 20, 25 minutes at best. You're talking about a 25-minute circle, which was a soup bowl, really. Now, here's the thing. In these neighborhoods inside of the loop, though, there are certain areas that have high points, in certain areas that just have ridiculous low points. My family and I were very fortunate. We live a block away from the bayou. The bayou was out of its banks. This is 35 extra feet of water than is normally there. Literally one block away from my house. But as I started off by saying, God is good. Our street never had any standing water. My property never had any standing water, but if you went a couple of blocks over, you could find a couple of feet of water on some of these streets. It just depends on the elevations where you were. There was no rhyme or reason to this.
Right.
Mm. Then with levees having to be intentionally and dams intentionally opened up to release some of this pressure, that's continuing to create flooding in certain neighborhoods. Mm. And then you have some levees and some areas. Now, I don't think they're being forthcoming about this. I think there are some levees in some areas where they are taking on water because these things are holding. We haven't gotten all the details about that. Mm. I expect that the engineers will bring that to us later on. Now, I want to go back to the church. You brought up the church.
Mm.
Are we referencing Lakewood? Are we referencing
Brentwood?
Lakewood. Okay, let's talk about Lakewood. Let me say this to y'all. Full disclosure, when I first moved back to Houston from New York, I went to Lakewood for 2 years.
Mm.
So I want to say up front that my past thoughts about that pastor, Joel Osteen, that family, I didn't know enough about them to have the opinion that I started to form. I just didn't get him before we moved back. I started attending over there because we had an apartment on that side of town, and I got it. It made clear to me who these people are, what they're trying to do. They're fulfilling this legacy of Joel's dad, who was very much in the forefront of civil rights here, mm-hmm. and being open to all people and helping people. They built this thing from the ground up. The this is a young man that has just landed in the position he's in.
Right, he wasn't a trained pastor.
Is not his thing.
Yeah, he's not a trained pastor. He only preached once before his dad died.
Yeah, they said he wasn't supposed to be the one. It was supposed to be his brother.
Yeah.
But then his father on his deathbed said, no, Joel's going to be the one. Yeah.
Well, no, he asked Joel to preach, and Joel preached the first time right before his dad died.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, right. The brother is a missionary and a surgeon who spends about 9 months of his year in Africa saving lives and saving people, you know, bringing them to Christ. He's doing both, right?
Yeah.
I take no issue with this family. I take no issue with these people having attended there, but they live out what they talk about. Everyone has a specific job. That's the one thing everybody needs to understand. Every brother, every sister, the mother, everyone has their role, and that's what they do. His job, he's the televangelist. He is there to bring people to Christ, usually new believers, people who are just now getting on their walk. That's his job. That's what he does. What I think they did wrong in this instance, and if any church didn't have a plan, which is what I think the mistake they made was, they just didn't have a plan to respond.
They got caught out there like everybody else. They didn't realize it was going to be this crazy.
Right.
I don't think they realized it was going to be this crazy. I think they probably looked at their opportunity to help, as they have in the past. They did open their doors during Katrina. They do, you know, collect donations and do distributions in all instances all over the world. They do everything they can. And again, I'm someone who left that church because I needed to be fed more spiritual.
Yeah.
But what I can't co-sign that some people are saying, he's a mega pastor and they just don't care about people.
I do think that the targeting, we're going to talk about this when we get off the phone with you a little bit, but I do think they didn't have a plan, and they also could never have anticipated being targeted that way. Like, it snowballed in the course of the day.
Social media?
Yeah, it started with a couple people being like, why? And you know, there's so many people who don't like Joel for various reasons. It started like, why hasn't Joel opened his doors? Like, yeah, why hadn't Joel opened his doors? Why hadn't? Like, let alone any of the other.
And it just went. So, and more than anything, Jonna, and one of the reasons, another reason why I wanted to have you on was because I know that you understand the terrain, being able, you know, what our organizations have boots on the ground, what's next, how can we, you know, help, what can we do to support?
And what are you guys facing? What are you guys facing in your road back to normal?
I think that, as I said before, we're going to find out later what the true impact of this really was. If you guys recall Katrina and how many people ended up moving to Houston,
and they're going through this all over again. Yeah.
All these people are mobilizing here because they don't have places to go. Now, I don't expect a mass exodus out of Houston.
You don't think a lot of people are going to go up to Dallas?
I think some people will have to, and I think that's going to be people who don't necessarily have the resources to wait out what happens over the course of trying to wrangle your insurance or figure out where your car went in the flood or whatever. I don't expect that sort of a shift. The shift that I do see is this time around, when we saw Katrina, we saw a lot of poor people who didn't have the resources to get out, get caught in that storm. This time, any and everybody who just didn't have that time frame, that window to get somewhere else, possibly, you know, got themselves in a situation. But beyond that part, let's say they all got it. Right now they're looking at a death toll of only about 40, which is unbelievable considering there's 6 million people that were affected in these surrounding areas. So another thing I'm not going to do is let anybody talk greasy about our black mayor, let anybody talk greasy about our Mexican police chief, and let anybody talk greasy about our white judge, Ed Emmett, who is over the Office of Emergency Management and, you know, those things. These fellas stuck together, didn't play politics, got in front of those cameras and kept shutting people down who were questioning the decisions made to not evacuate. Can y'all imagine if 6 million people had tried to leave and go to Dallas or Louisiana at the same time?
That's what they were saying. Like, I guess it was, I forget what storm came before, but they did an evacuation and people ended up, like, some people ended up dying on the highway because there was too many cars that couldn't get out.
Right.
Okay, and that was, it wasn't even raining and people were dying.
Mm-hmm.
You got 30 feet of water on major highways flooded with cars?
Yeah, uh-uh. It was over.
So, So that right there, I've had to shut a few people down on, just like, would you have liked to have seen what that looked like? That's not any good. So to fast forward to your question, Naima, I think that what we're going to see is lots of displaced people who cannot necessarily afford to upright themselves with housing.
Right.
And then they've also just lost all the basic necessities. We're talking about people with no paperwork now. You know, literally people coming out with the clothes on their back. Just today, they found a 3-year-old clinging to her dead mother. Her mama died in the flood, and that baby survived, and they found her today. I think we're going to continue to find not only bodies, but also living people that we just didn't know were stuck somewhere.
Yeah, and
out of hurry.
To wrap it up, I think a couple of things that people aren't thinking about is the amount of mental trauma that people in the city who did survive, who might have lost loved ones or might have almost died or just whatever, like people, it's going to be a lot of mental trauma. And just on like a scientific level, this is literally going to change like the topography of the city. The city's going to actually look different when it's all dry. There's going to be roads that were there that are gone. It's going to look like in 5 years, it's going to look like a different city than it did. And they were already, I know, doing a lot of gentrification and like building inside the loop. But now, like, I don't know. Like you said, back to those people who can't afford it, for the people who the developers and all that, and they're like, kind of like in New Orleans too, like, oh, bet the nature did our work for us. Now we can just throw condos in even more places and get this shit popping even more. And meanwhile, like you said, there's a lot of people who got nothing but the clothes on their back. It takes forever to get an insurance claim. If you even had insurance.
And a lot of people apparently didn't have flood insurance.
Of course not, because in Houston it doesn't get 30 feet of water. It's not, you know, so it's a lot of ripple effect to this storm that we're not even going to probably see, like you said, for a little while yet, because there's still water there.
And what we
absolutely, everybody has not even been rescued yet.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. There are people still in houses with water in it, or, you know, and probably at this point not sitting on roofs, but there's a lot happening. Baytown, which is, you know, 45, 50 minutes away from us, where, of course, you know, Port Arthur is that way, Bun and Cynthia from over there, several other guys we know from over that way. The water over there, what happened in that area is unbelievable. I think some of those people will end up over here. I think you're going to see an immediate need. I think they've gotten all the clothing they're going to need initially.
Okay.
But school has gotten pushed back yet again. Our schools took on water. These guys were supposed to start school this past week. They're not going to be able to go until the 11th.
So
that's getting affected. You're talking about teachers having to teach kids who may not have a home. The kids may not have a home. The teachers may be in a shelter. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Like, to just point, the mental anguish of what that's going to be in trying to care for each other in that moment is going to be our biggest challenge. What I will say is that I'm very heartened by how many people just immediately went to work on this. They didn't wait on a pastor. They didn't wait on the White House. They didn't wait on the government to say anything. Our leaders here were like, don't worry about registering your boat or your 18-wheeler. Go get those people. We'll deal with the bureaucracy and the crap later.
That's exactly what we saw. But listen, Jonna, thank you. We appreciate it. What I think is probably best is you can send us, or you'll send me sort of what some of the needs are, because we know that you guys are going to get flooded, and then you'll let us know what it is. We'll post it. We'll use Twitter to get that word out and make sure that we can do as much as we can. We appreciate it. We appreciate your perspective. I love you. I'm glad you're safe. I was absolutely concerned about you. I'm a big head nephew. Who needs to send me my Texan shirt, because now I'm going to be looking like a groupie. But anyway, we love you. We appreciate it.
Sean, I want to connect y'all with two entities, and I'll send the info over. The Wheeler Avenue Baptist Church is a centerpiece of Third Ward. It sits right between Texas Southern University and the University of Houston. There are people, there are resources, there are students who are out here working hard, ready to get boots on the ground for y'all, for whatever you would like to see happen. There's also the True Con Motorcycle Club. It's a black biker group here. My girlfriend Dana, who is a DJ on Magic 102 here, is part of that motorcycle club. They're actually having a big thing this Saturday. I already have some very specific details on what they're looking to have, and we look forward to helping you guys funnel any resources in here as we possibly can. We want to keep this spirit alive, especially with the current climate in this country. What we just did, Houston and Louisiana stepping up and not waiting for instructions or permission, this is exactly what it needs to be looking like, and we need to keep it that way. So we thank you guys for wanting to be an extension of that and figuring out how you guys can really impact. And at some point, come on down here and pick up a hammer.
All right.
Thank you.
We love you, John. And see you. I'll talk to you later.
All right. I love y'all, too. Thank you.
Sending you strength.
All right, Pop Life Podcast, 8:31. We have my friend Bun B on the phone, friend of the show as well, who's obviously the unofficial mayor of Houston in that region of Texas. And he is involved in all the efforts to try to get the city back on track. And obviously, you know, born and raised in Port Arthur, so he's dealing with trying to get Port Arthur together as well. And he has some news about some of the things he's going to be doing, and he's going to kind of talk about what's going on down there. So go ahead, man.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
We wish we could have you on the show under better conditions, but happy to have your voice.
I think Jeff can vouch for me. I've literally been trying to figure out how to get on the Pop Life Podcast.
He always calls.
Since episode three.
First of all, how are you and your family doing?
My immediate family is perfect. God has been very good to me. All my brothers, my mother, my father, my children, my grandchildren, they are all literally in pockets where there's no flooding.
Oh, that's amazing.
Like literally no one in my immediate family. And this includes my sister-in-laws, my in-laws, everyone, my grandchildren's grandparents, their parents, literally everyone in my immediate family has no water damage.
That's amazing.
You know what I'm saying? So I've been honoring God real strong. I don't want to go there too deep, but just being real.
No, but listen, it's a time to do it.
I've been honoring God real strong lately. Right. You know what I'm saying? Walking it and talking it. And yo, he heard me. So, but that being said, he's also given me resources and responsibility.
Right.
So that's kind of where we're at. But you know, all my family is cool, but yo, you know, this is crazy because I was telling Jeff about this the other day, because Jeff has been to Port Arthur, Texas.
Yeah.
Jeff has been in, you know, and you know, rest in peace, Mama West's house.
Yeah.
And eaten with us.
Hell man. Yeah.
And the same house that he ate in, literally the backyard to this house, is the reservoir.
Wow.
So at 3 a.m., the reservoir breached, and it poured directly into that house.
Wow.
And
Mama West is Pimp C's mom's house.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. So, yep. So rest in peace, Pimp. So literally at 3 a.m., Pimp's oldest son started having this influx of water. The entire neighborhood, all that off the exit, all that was underwater.
Mm.
It eventually got to 5 feet. Thank God he's not as short as me and his dad. He's actually 6 feet tall. So he was tall enough, but then his wife doesn't, his wife can't swim and has a fear of water.
Oh.
So it was a constant thing of, as the water rises, putting her on higher objects until she had to get on the top of the car in a garage.
Wow.
And this is happening at 3 a.m. So
right.
while they're asleep, and then he literally was dealing with this for 12 hours. They didn't get him out till 3 p.m.
Wow.
You know, so, and the whole time, like, I've been trying to get my mom out for a week. She wouldn't leave. There was no rain. And then Port Arthur, here's what happened with Port Arthur and Beaumont and Orange. The reason so many people are dealing with such craziness is because that whole Jefferson County area had, it was the pocket that didn't get really any rain.
Right.
So
they're just dealing with flooding.
No, here's what happened. While all of this was happening in Corpus Christi and Houston and everybody else was getting flooding, they were getting light rain. So this entire community, really this entire county, comprised of about 7 to 9 cities, small municipalities, all got lulled into a false sense of security that they
right.
weren't going to get it.
Right.
And then literally they went to sleep, and when they went to sleep, it started raining, and it dumped 26 inches in 24 hours.
Wow.
That's
so so outside of my immediate family, all my aunts, all my cousins, everybody's house is a problem.
Wow.
Like, my cousin Brenda, we didn't know Brenda was alive until last night, like about 7 o'clock.
Wow.
Because her phone was dead when it happened, and her house was underwater. So everybody in her immediate family thought she was in that house underwater because no one had talked to her.
Oh.
Like,
I can't even imagine.
So this has been so traumatic to people on such a deep level, and that's why, like, all the charities that I'm trying to connect with and send people to, my main thing is that I need social services when this is over. I need therapy for the old people and the children.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, Sean, you're a father. I've always heard you talk about things from the father's aspect and the family man's aspect. And you're a family man to the point where I know that, here's the thing. If you're a family man, you have two situations that could be the worst. The only thing worse than a father being away from his family while his family is in distress is a father being with his family while his family is distressed and he's helpless to do anything.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you're a family man or you're a father, that's your deepest fear. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you have the psychological emasculation of the men of these families. You have the traumatic experience of these children. How many children are gonna think about these kids that had to get rescued out on boats? What do you think happens to them 3 weeks from now when they hit thunder?
Right.
When they hit light. When they see lightning. Mommy, do we have to go in the attic? Mommy, do we have to go on the roof? Mommy, is the boat's going to have to come and get us?
Right.
You know?
PTSD. And there's going to need to be therapy for those people who relocated
there. Are helping
there.
People.
And for people who relocated there from Katrina and are going through this for a second time.
Well, I'm trying to explain to people in the kindest, gentlest, easiest way possible that if you're in the shelter right now because your home is compromised and you live like in an apartment or government subsidized, you don't live in the city you lived in last week.
Right.
They're not going to relocate you. If you're in Houston and you're subsidized by the government in housing or whatever it is, and your apartments are done, they're not going to move you to another apartment complex in
Houston.
Yeah,
you got to go somewhere else.
You got to go somewhere else. And everybody here knows people who lived in New Orleans all their life, got relocated to Houston, found a job, found a house, got assimilated, got accustomed, and they didn't go back.
Right.
Why would they go back, you know? And this is about to be a new normal, right? We have 30,000 people just in Houston alone.
Right.
Wow.
So everybody has to find their new normal, man. This is wild. Like, I just found a route into Port Arthur tonight, so...
Wow.
I'm gonna leave, but it's too dark, right? It's gonna be nighttime when I get there, so we're on our way out now.
Right.
We're getting supplies, and then we're gonna leave first thing in the morning.
Okay. Talk about the big telethon with Scooter that's happening.
All right, so.
Oh, did we lose him?
Oh shit! I think I lost him.
Are
you here, Bun?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I switched from my phone to the truck. I apologize.
Oh, no, that's all good. That's good.
So the telethon that we're doing is, it's a nationwide telethon, right? So it's not local. It's a nationwide telethon, all four networks. You guys still there?
Yes,
yeah, we're listening.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all four networks, basically every television in America, will be watching this, and Facebook is going to stream it live as well. So it's going to be September 12th at 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., commercial-free, broadcasting live from Los Angeles, Nashville, and New York City.
Okay.
So we'll have a different host in each city. We'll have potentially a different, you know, introductions to videos or maybe a performance in every city, but, and like, not me rapping, like, people 10 times bigger than me.
So, hey, so let me ask a question. This, lighten the mood is the right term, but like, what happens with the Texans? Like, where are they gonna play?
The Texans?
Yeah.
The reality is that Reliant will be, yeah, this is crazy. We gotta call him back.
Uh-oh.
Oh, should have lost him.
We lost him.
Yeah.
Well, he was en route to Port Arthur.
Yeah, and I think he also got, he's got like a lot of people calling him now. So, yeah. But I'm glad we got a chance to talk to him, and I'm glad people got that telephone information. Again, September 12th.
And I'm sure they'll start promoting it. I'm sure.
Right away. Yeah. So, and he said that the people calling to get down with it are like the biggest of the big. I mean, nobody's
sure.
Saying no. You know,
right?
What I mean?
I'm positive. Yeah. The one thing I wanted to ask Bun that we asked. Jonna, is, you know, well, we didn't ask Jonna this specifically. We asked her what's next, but I guess I wanted to ask what is the one thing he would want people who are watching this from a distance to really kind of understand.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are watching it, and it is like nothing we've ever seen. You know, it's actually worse than Katrina.
It is.
Just in terms, I mean, because Katrina wasn't about the storm, it was about the flooding.
Yeah.
And this is the storm and the flooding, you know?
Houston's a bigger city.
And it's a much bigger city.
It's the fourth largest city in the country.
Yeah, it's more people, and the area affected is much wider because initially it was Houston, but just like he's talking about Port Arthur, now they're talking about, you know, the more rural areas that are harder to get to. And they're talking about possible like chemical plants that might either explode or at least there'd be a fire or, you know what I mean, whatever. So to their point, like, this is still a long way from being over. And even with Katrina, you know, it took 3 days for it to really start getting bad. But I guess that's the thing. Like, I don't know if you're standing on the outside, if you can really understand the magnitude of it.
I don't think you can, and I think that that's okay.
Yeah.
I think it's okay for you to not be able to sort of comprehend that. I don't think Jonna sent me a video of that bayou area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's raging water.
Yeah.
Like you kind of have a lack of appreciation for the power of water until you see it moving and taking anything in its path with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really sort of gives you some perspective. I mean, I just feel, and like Bun says, like, it's got to be traumatic to feel helpless.
Yeah.
You know, because your job, right, like your duty as the man of the house, if nothing else, you got to make sure that family is okay.
Yeah.
When you are in a position to literally do nothing about it, like you're just waiting for help with your family,
mm-hmm.
I can only imagine how that has made a lot of people feel.
So, I mean, obviously, you know, it's obvious that, you know, our prayers are up, and we're going to, you know, get information from Bun and from Jonna to kind of figure out, to send out for people to help out in any way possible.
Because what I do want to be careful about, you know, a lot of people have been bringing up the fact that all the money, and, you know, I haven't done my own research on this.
Or a lot of the money for Katrina and stuff.
Or like from the, like basically that the Red Cross funds, by the time they get dispersed and disseminated to local organizations, the money that actually touches the ground dwindles. So I'm trying to figure, I'm looking out for the organizations that I can give my money to that have the most direct impact.
Well, and that's why I specifically asked her and used the term boots on the ground, right?
Yeah.
Because Red Cross is such a large organization that it takes millions of dollars of donation, right? But it runs such a huge operation.
Yeah, people have to get paid.
And all that stuff. So, yes, absolutely. Your money dwindles down. From the last bit of research, they changed some of the wording. They would, they were doing some wordplay to tell you that it was like 91%. It's absolutely not. I think they said it was closer to like 30%.
And that might be a reach. Like, you know, people are still saying that all that $500 million they raised for Haiti.
Yeah.
Still ain't really
six houses. And this is again. This is a personal connection for me.
Right, you know what I'm saying.
So you got family.
And I say a lot to say, like, look, the Red Cross is not the most effective place to send your money, and it also does not specifically designate accounts.
Right.
Meaning, when you donate to the Red Cross,
it might not be to a pool. It don't mean it's going to Houston.
Exactly. Yeah. So if I say I want to donate $1 million to Houston, well, if Houston gets to the point where they don't really need my $1 million, it doesn't continue to float to them. It goes to the next thing.
Yeah.
And now, listen, the Red Cross is needed. You know, my sister had a fire one time. They absolutely came in, put her in a hotel for like 2 nights.
Right. Until,
you know what I'm saying? So the Red Cross is needed. They do some things. I'm not suggesting that the people who are boots on the ground are, you know, thieves.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's not an effective
effective
operation when people are in need right now.
Yeah.
Right.
For immediate things like medication, sanitary napkins, you know, basic medication, Tylenol, Advil,
Pampers.
So
yeah, cuz Bunsa, that's his bun right here, just real quick. We're going to get him right back on real quick.
Yeah.
Hey, man, we were just wrapping up, but I know you're hectic, so you didn't have to call back, but I appreciate you calling back.
Yeah, I apologize. That was cool to call me.
It's all good. It's all good. Anything else you need to say?
Are you filming? Are you recording right now?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to thank everybody that's already given and the people that intend to give. I want to thank all the first responders, especially the volunteer people. Like, there's a dude that went out and bought a boat to help people.
Wow.
There's a kid with a kayak in Houston that saved 21 people one at a time.
Wow.
Balancing them on his kayak.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There are so many people going above and beyond a call of duty. People are responding to a call for humanity. And I want to thank everybody that's listening. If they've given already, I want to thank you. And if you can tune in to the telethon, it's going to be hard to miss. So it's going to be September 12th. On every TV station and live on Facebook.
Okay.
And just tune in, and it's going to be the greatest thing Americans have ever seen Americans do this side. Like, the people that they expect to do these things, they're doing it.
Right.
All of them are doing it visibly. I can't tell you how many thousands of dollars athletes have given, like, just to different people that they know are on the ground. Like, yo, I don't need my name out there. Who's on the ground? What's his bank account number?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just left Costco. We spent $3,000 at Costco. We ain't even put a dent in what athletes are sending. Much less other people.
Right.
So God bless everybody that's giving. Thank you guys, the Pop Life Podcast. Yo, y'all one of the best out there.
Thanks, Bun, real quick before you sign off, what do you want people who are watching this from a distance to know about Houston right now?
Houston is an example of what America stands for. After Charlottesville, people are under the impression that just because we disagree that we can't come together. America is a family. It's always been a family. Mm-hmm. In the Civil War, brothers fought against brothers. You know what I'm saying? But when people attack America, we come together.
Right.
So I understand that everybody right now don't get... I live in Houston. We got 100 different spoken languages in the city of Houston. And everybody here doesn't get along. They don't like each other, any of that. But Houston is trying to survive. And people that would never even shake people's hands are pulling up and rescuing people and saving people's lives right now. Houston is the example of what America really stands for. That's what I want people to know.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a great way to end it, man. Yeah. And I'll call you later on.
All right, man.
Thanks,
God bless you.
Okay, bro. Appreciate it.
Don't forget to subscribe, y'all.
Love that.
So we're gonna wrap it up on that note. I mean, this Houston thing is crazy. I guess, I mean, just for me personally, like, I was just down there like about 5-6 weeks ago, and I was like, oh, yo, it's great because the city is gentrifying. They got new Whole Foods and it's growing. I'm like, yo, stuff is popping.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, 6 weeks later, catastrophe. Yeah. I mean, the city is a strong city. In the long run, it will recover, but there's gonna be a really brutal road getting back to a place of normalcy.
I mean, and even without large a large number of fatalities, just the sheer number of people who are displaced.
It's crazy. And displaced, like you said, this because of the damage, it ain't like they we cleaned up the crib, now you can go home. It ain't no crib left. It's washed away. So you know, the car is gone, the job is washed away. Literally. Like that used to work, that building is gone. It's gonna be a lot of, you know, it's gonna be a really tough road, but we just wanted to do that, you know.
And we're sending love to Houston.
Yep. And we'll see y'all next week.
All right.
Peace.